Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation yourself. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening, and we're certainly glad to have you with us tonight. Boy, it turned out to be an absolutely gorgeous day here in northeastern Ohio. The leaves have been changing color, and we've been out a couple times this week, different places. Had to drive up to Ashtabula, Ohio on Tuesday, and what a gorgeous drive. It just seems like this past week the leaves have been at their peak. And then, of course, yesterday, my wife and I decided to go out to tour a Girl Scout camp in our town that had an open house, and I had worked there back in the late 70s, actually, in the summers of 78 and 79. So it was the first time I had an opportunity to go back in there since then. And it was the only Saturday open house that they had. They'd previously had Sunday open houses, and there was no way we could get in there on a Sunday with our schedule and everything. But so we decided to go for it. Of course, yesterday had to be cold and rainy all day. We're slogging through the mud and walking around out in the rain and the drizzle and everything. But it was kind of neat to see some places that I hadn't seen in quite some time. But and actually, all said and done, it wasn't that bad of an afternoon. We were out for a couple of hours in it, and we survived so far. At least I survived so far. My wife, it looks like she survived as well. So it was good to do that. I just wish the weather yesterday had been as nice as today. It's just been gorgeous today. And so if you get a chance to get out some of these nice autumn days, and you get that weather here when you're in the northern part of the United States, it gets kind of nice. And then, of course, you get further south, you get into some good weather as well this time of year, and it's always enjoyable. But we're glad you're with us here tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Let's go ahead and open our program here with a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody this evening. Help us be able to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. Use the program for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And before we get into our program, actually, our phone lines are lighting up already, but we got plenty of time, get plenty of people in here this evening. I just wanted to mention that we have a new Facebook page, which I have resisted Facebook for a number of years, and we finally went ahead and started it. I mentioned it last week. We've had a few people like the page, and I'm glad for that. You can find Live with Pastor Al on Facebook if you're on there. And you can find our page and you can like us on Facebook. So I look forward to being able to do some more with that in the future, maybe get some things on there that'll be a help, be a blessing, and some of our things that we can do with that in the future as I figure out what Facebook is. We also have our regular website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And there's a link from there to the Facebook page as well. So if you don't remember anything else, just remember livewithpastoral.com. All right, we're going to get to our callers tonight, and we've got several lined up. John's first on the program tonight. John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, hanging in there. It was really cold yesterday.
Yeah, I know. We were out walking around in it. Had I not had the opportunity, or had I not worked there 30 years ago, I probably wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. A question came up in our Bible study group, and I told them that I'd ask you.
Okay.
We were wondering whether you thought that God created Adam and Eve first, or if he created the Garden of Eden first.
Well, there's a good question. Let's go over and take a look at exactly what it says here. And we have in Genesis chapter 1, of course, and we have the order of creation here in Genesis chapter 1. We see that God created, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then we go progressively through the days of creation. Light, of course, created, and then the first day, and then the second day there was the firmament that divided the waters, which were and such not, and that's the second day. The third day, the dry land appeared, and the vegetation grew on the dry land. Then the fourth day, there was the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then, let's see, we've got the fifth day when the birds and the fish, the whales, that sort of thing. And then on the sixth day is when all the animals were created. So vegetation was created on, on the third or fourth day there. I'm sorry, the third day. And birds and such were on the fourth day. Adam would have been created on the sixth day. Now you go into Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, God gives us some details on how he created Adam, where he formed him of the dust of the ground. That's just looking back. That's not a second creation. That's just looking back at how Adam was created. But God rested on the seventh day, and God created then. Many people believe that the Garden of Eden was planted by God and set up by God then at that time, and then Adam was placed in it. And that would seem to be reasonable. Now, he'd already created the plants and the animals, and he'd already created Adam. And so now he set up the garden. And so the description of the garden would not have been a second creation event, in a sense. So it doesn't contradict the creation events in Genesis chapter 1. It just shows us some things that God did. He created the world in those 6 days, and that was the order of creation in chapter 1. Chapter 2 gives us a detailed look at the creation of Adam and the creation of Eve, and then also tells us how God set up the Garden of Eden, which is really only a small part of the earth, because when Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God, they were put out from the garden, and they had the rest of the world to move into, but they were not allowed into the garden again. So the
Garden of Eden was after Adam and Eve had been created?
It would appear so. Now, the plants and everything, God could have had them growing already on the third day in the Garden of Eden. The birds that flew around in the Garden of Eden, perhaps, could have been birds that were created on the fourth day. But Adam was clearly formed on the sixth day, and however God accomplished it, developed the Garden of Eden, planted it, set it up, created it, however you want to look at it, and then placed Adam in there along with Eve to dress and to keep the garden.
Okay, because I guess I had kind of like the same line of thought that you did, but in my study group there was a Baptist pastor that said that he felt that Adam and Eve were God's last creation.
Well, in that sense, he would be correct, because the plants and everything in the Garden of Eden were probably created on the first on the third day. That's where I said it could very well be that when God was creating the vegetation on the earth, he created the vegetation that was in the Garden of Eden. However, it worked out. God set up the parameters of the garden because it was a distinct area, and he set up within it the tree of life as well as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he placed Adam and Eve in that garden and gave them work to do.
I know that you've said in the previous programs that you felt that each day in Genesis was 24 hours long.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering, in other words, you don't consider coal and oil to be fossil fuels?
Well, coal and oil, and they've proven this, the coal and oil can be made very quickly. It just basically takes pressure. They actually had developed, I remember they were actually testing it, what's the big turkey line? I think it's Butterball Turkey or something like that. Outside of the Butterball Turkey plant, wherever that's at, they were actually testing a unit that was made where they would put organic waste into it. So they put all the, you know, the feather and the claws and the beaks and stuff that came off in the turkey processing plant, all that stuff would go in one end, and out the other end, amongst other things, would come oil, just like the kind of oil that you would get out of the ground.
Well, I'm
that
wondering,
would refine into gasoline.
I'm wondering about all the miles and miles underground of, like, the Kentucky coal mines.
Oh, yeah, the coal mines. And you have to remember, in the world prior to the flood, in that world, there's, I'm trying to think of the name of it, online, the website, for Dr. Walter Brown he has a book, In the Beginning. In fact, if you just put Dr. Walter Brown or Walt Brown in the beginning, if somebody Googles that, they'll find it. But the amount of vegetation that was here on the earth prior to the flood would have been absolutely immense. Now, when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, they still had some plants growing there that looked, they weren't tree ferns, but they kind of looked like it. And other plants, because it was a tropical environment, and the vegetation, you know, I'm here in Northeast Ohio, like you are, and the vegetation here, you know, is pretty lush in the summertime. But if you could imagine in the tropics, it's even more so. When I went to college in Colorado, I can remember after being out in Colorado for a while, coming back to Northeast Ohio and thinking, wow, the vegetation looks so overgrown here because there's just so much thicker, so much lusher than it was in Colorado even. And then if you go in the desert, there's hardly anything. But if you think of the whole world being covered with lush vegetation, and we know from fossils that we had tree ferns and all kinds of other plants that grew to spectacular sizes compared to what those grow to today. And in the course of the flood, you would have had these vast mats of vegetation floating around and then sinking and being buried under sediment. And we know that coal can actually form pretty quickly. There was a coal mine, I want to say it was in perhaps Australia, so I don't think it was in the United States, although similar things have happened here, where a miner's felt hat was lost in the mine, and it was found several months later. It had turned to coal. There's also a famous case where what is like a little child's teddy bear was lost in a coal mine, left behind or something, and it was found not too many months later. It had turned to coal.
Wow.
So obviously coal can form pretty rapidly. When Mount St. Helens exploded, the huge amount of timber and vegetation that was literally stripped off from the ground and sent in giant mudslides down into Spirit Lake began within months. It began settling on the bottom of the lake and petrifying, just like the petrified forest. If you were to drain Spirit Lake and pull the mud out or from around it, you would have a petrified forest from trees that lodged there after the Mount St. Helens eruption in the early 1980s, and they're already petrified. And some of that is turning into mats of peat and things like that. So coal can actually form, and so can oil, a lot faster, And getting back to oil, there's also some belief, some geologists believe, that oil is being formed deep under the crust, and it's coming back up into certain areas and collecting under salt domes. So there may be a certain amount of oil that's actually formed by natural processes in the earth. There's indications that there may be something similar to petroleum on some moons around Jupiter and Saturn, I believe.
So it wouldn't be incorrect, then, to say that coal and oil are fossil fuels?
Well, fossil is a relative term. I mean, a fossil, you can create a fossil in a relatively short period of time.
Okay.
If you see a fossil, you don't know that it's millions of years old or thousands of years old. It might only be a few years old.
Okay.
Because fossils can form pretty quickly. A petrified piece of wood is fossilized wood. And it's basically when minerals go into the and replace a lot of the tissue in there and form the shape and everything. And like I said, Spirit Lake when Mount St. Helens exploded, there's already petrified wood there, fossilized wood.
Okay, I better let you get to your other callers.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah. So, but check out that book
Walter Brown.
Pardon?
Walter Brown?
Yeah, Walter Brown. You can download a free e-copy of it on the computer. If I can find that at some point, maybe I'll get that website mentioned, if I can remember what it is.
Yeah, I was hoping that you'd get the person that does the creation down in Kentucky sometime.
Oh, Ken Ham.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, but, I don't know if he'd come on our show. We're too little, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
But I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, John.
Appreciate it.
Have a good night.
You too. Thank you. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we'd love to have you here. Thought I had, here it is. I think this is Walter Brown's website. It's creationscience.com. That's creationscience.com. And you can get his latest edition of his book, In the Beginning, there at creationscience.com. And well worth reading. I've read it. And like anything, you may not agree with 100% with everything that's in it, but he's really got some excellent stuff in there. And I certainly agree with 90%+ of what's in it. So that's creationscience.com and Dr. Walter Brown and his book, In the Beginning. All right, well, we've got Todd on the line, been waiting patiently. And Todd, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Pastor Al, great to talk to you. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How is it down there in Tampa tonight?
Oh, Pastor Al, praise God forever. If you're not worshiping Jesus, you'll always be a loser. But to thank him in the great state of Florida is an extra blessing that cannot be compensated for.
Amen.
But Pastor Al, I want us to make a few statements here.
All right.
To the American people, actually, and say, first of all, Israel's our friend, and we love Israel.
Amen.
And we're more than disappointed than with our president who doesn't treat Israel with the respect. So we want Jesus Christ to know tonight, okay, 20 days or whatever it is before the election here, that we stand with the Lord God Jehovah, okay, and the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the Holy Spirit that does the work in the Word, because Jesus is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus also said, he who's ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of before my Father in heaven. So I pray, I'm just saying, Pastor Al, to the American people, you see that the American people, the will of the American people is not being done in the White House. Okay, and that you get your family with your valid ID and you vote for that Republican. He may not be or she may not be perfect, but I praise God they're 1,000,000,000,000,000 times better than what we have. And if there was Ron Paul or Rand Paul, I'd be voting for them. I know, and so on and so forth. But I just just want to let the Lord God of heaven know that the American people stand with Israel and their right to defend themselves and do whatever it takes. And you don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa from Harvard to know you don't let people in with a deadly disease like Ebola into the United States of America. And you idiot Democrats who are standing by and not saying anything, shame on you. You're a disgrace to the American people and you fake Republicans. But I just want to say, let's get to work. And if you're not taking dominion in the name of Jesus Christ, where every knee must bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, you'll always be a loser. And no one has suffered more discrimination than my good friend, Heisman Trophy winner and AFC division champion, Tim Tebow, who should be playing on Sunday. Let's get to work and let's restore Jesus Christ, who never left and never and made the United States a Christian nation, one nation face down at the holy feet of the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, and the King of the Jews and Savior of the world. God bless you, Pastor Al. Let's get to work for the kingdom's sake.
Well, I appreciate the passion and the sentiment there, and I would remind people that in Matthew chapter 5, this is what Jesus said. He said in Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 13, this goes right along with what you're saying, Todd. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Then he says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And I would like to add with what you said there, a lot of Christians, their salt that's lost its savor, their light that's hidden under a bushel, they're not being salt. They're not being light. And salt retards spoilage, and light pushes back the darkness. And God uses believers to retard the spoilage, the rottenness in this world, and to push back the darkness of this world by working through believers to do just what you're saying. And if we're not getting out there and making our vote count by voting according to our Christian beliefs, voting, you know, according to biblical values, and we're not being salt, we're not being light. And that's a sad commentary on Christians who are not willing to be salt and light. Hey, I appreciate your comments there, Todd. So I think we've lost the call there. I can't make out what's happening there. I think I kind of garbled there at the end. But appreciate that call there, Todd. I thank you for that. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. We've got Jeremiah on the line next. And Jeremiah, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, I'm looking in the back of my Bible, tropical coordinates. I'm looking at a certain topic. It's called compassion.
Right.
Which you were just talking about. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about communion. Because at my church this morning we had communion, and I think that's a really it's really meaningful to have communion, because you don't want to, you know, have communion without, if you have an unforgiven sin.
Right. In fact, the Bible talks about that, and in 1 Corinthians, let me find that here real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. God thinks it's so serious that He had Paul write this before participating in the Lord's Supper or communion. He says here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 12 or 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And he finishes in verse 33 here by saying, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. So we should pause before participating in partaking of the Lord's Supper or communion, and we should tarry, and we should take time to allow the Holy Spirit to shine a light into the dark recesses of our heart and our life, and tell us what it is that we've allowed to be in there that shouldn't be there, so that we can get that right with God before partaking in communion.
If you don't ask God for forgiveness, that sin could condemn you.
Well, and it's not a condemning and into hell. That judgment was taken place when we trusted Christ as our Savior. Our sins were forgiven, but he said there will be chastened of the Lord, and many are weak and many sickly among you, many sleep, which means sometimes that chastening takes the form of physical affliction and even an early death. So the condemnation, the damnation that he talks about eating and drinking to yourself, it brings you under the chastening hand of God, because if you're tolerating and refusing to get right sin in your life and then partaking of the Lord's Supper, you're really making a mockery of what Christ did for you in forgiving you. And see, it doesn't say you have to be without sin in the sense no sin in your life at all, though all your sins forgiven as a believer. What he's talking about is keeping that sin confessed before God, so that our fellowship with God is open, our communication lines with God are always there, and doing the best that we can to be a faithful witness and testimony for the Lord, and not holding on to our sins stubbornly and rebelliously towards God. God takes it seriously, doesn't he?
No, I took the bread, which represents Jesus' body.
Right.
And I took the wine, which represents Jesus'
right.
blood.
Hey, I'm going to have to cut you there. We're out of time for this half of the program. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here this evening. And the toll-free telephone number, 888-677-9673, that's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air. Of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor here in Richfield, Ohio, and that information comes at the bottom of the show. So also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. They've also got calzones, strombolis, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. If you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, maybe you've got a restaurant and you want to add pizza, or you just want to open your own pizza shop, and maybe you've been scared off by the high franchise fees, if you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus, he can help you get started in your own pizza shop or add pizza to your existing restaurant. And it'd be a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And it doesn't matter if you're in Ohio or Florida or somewhere in between. Gus will help you out. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. Just a reminder that we have a new Facebook page, and if you get a chance and you can go on there and like us on Facebook, we'd appreciate that. It helps us get to know people who are listening, and it's new for me, so I'm just getting used to it. So if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find the link to the Facebook page there. Well, we're going to go to our phones here, 888-677-9673, and we have Barb in West Virginia, I believe, on the line next. Barb, welcome to the program.
I'm just writing that down, Live with Pastor Al.
Livewithpastoral.com, and the Facebook link is there as well.
Let me put that down, .com.
Right. Yeah, livewithpastoral.com.
Got it. Okay, I've been doing a... research. I got a question and then a comment. My question has to do with the Houston menagerie down there.
Oh, are you talking about the case with the sermon, the subpoenas for the sermons?
Yeah, how did
right.
get away with that?
Well, you know, that is a great thing. And we spent our Friday program talking about that. You know, for those who are outside of the northeastern Ohio area, we have a half-hour program every Friday at 1:30 till 2 o'clock on AM 1220, the Word, which is WHKWRadio.com. But I don't know if I got that loaded up yet or not. I don't think I have that loaded from last Friday. But I talked about this, and for those out there who don't know what we're talking about, basically Houston City Council passed a anti-discrimination law dealing with discrimination on the usual things, as well as gender. And what that means, and this is the part that provoked a response by some of the pastors in Houston, is that if a person who is biologically male decides that today they feel that their true gender is female, they can go in and use the women's restroom and no one can stop them. Likewise, a person who is biologically female decides today that her real gender is male, she can go into the men's restrooms and no one can stop her. And if you do, you're guilty of violating these ordinances. And these pastors, there's at least five in Houston that helped spearhead the effort to put a petition on the ballot, and they raised the they passed out, I guess, raised the signatures on this petition to have a thing on the ballot to repeal the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance. They call it HERO. They like to come up with these names, you know, so that they can give these nice sounding things like HERO. And so to be against it, you're anti-HERO. See how that works? But they raised over three times the number of signatures required, 50,000 or more signatures that they got. And the city of Houston threw it out on a technicality. And the mayor of Houston is involved as well, though she's claiming that she didn't know anything about it until people started complaining. And even though she actually tweeted on October 15th, if the five pastors use pulpits for politics, their sermons are fair game. Were instructions given on filling out anti-HERO petition? That was the mayor, Anice Parker, and the mayor of Houston. So she was looking at these pastors and whether or not she could get them for, you know, supposedly unconstitutionally, though I really don't think it is, unconstitutionally addressing this issue from the pulpit and in their sermons. So they had a subpoena that, amongst other things, required these pastors to turn over their copies of their sermons, sermon notes, text mails, emails, conversations with other pastors, conversations with other churches, conversations with church members, all of this stuff to be delivered in person to the, I don't know the name of the person right now off the top of my head, but it's the city law director, I think, or the office of the city law director. And all this stuff was supposed to be given, which, of course, is going to tie up a lot of staff and resources. But above and beyond all that, it's a blatant violation of the United States Constitution and quite probably the state of Texas Constitution. In fact, the Texas Attorney General has told the Houston City Hall to, quote, stop bullying Christians. And they had some news saying that they backed down a little bit. They said they don't have to put the sermons in there. But, I mean, it's... is a terrible situation, and if people, you know, roll over on this, it'll be happening elsewhere.
Yeah, this sounds like they're trying to make us slaves.
Well, they certainly want to...
They abolish slavery. Yeah,
they want to deprive you of your free speech.
Right. But they could have free speech, right?
Yes, they do.
And they could do what they want, but we can't.
Well, it's kind of like an Animal House. Everybody's free, but some are more free than others. Everybody's
right.
Equal, but some are more equal than others. And, you know, when you look at the First Amendment to the Constitution, all of those freedoms that are listed there are dependent on freedom of religion. San Antonio City Council actually is in the process of putting forward legislation. I was just reading this recently, similar to Houston, and going further, saying nobody can serve on the San Antonio City Council that is guilty of discrimination on the basis of gender. And most people don't understand what we mean by gender. When we say gender, most people are thinking, well, male or female.
Right.
And some people go so far as to say, well, male, female, or you know, gay or lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
But gender means whatever you feel like you are today. We've talked on the program before about other areas where they've said that in grade schools, for instance, if little Johnny comes to school and he feels like he's little Sally today, he needs to be allowed to go into the girls' restroom.
I don't think so.
But this is where we're going. This is where our country is heading. And Christians are being told to shut up, and they're being harassed. That's basically what this is. Because, see, when you tell people what they can believe and what they can't believe, mm-hmm. that's basically restricting your freedom of religion. And when you restrict freedom of religion, you have no freedom of speech because you can now no longer say something that mm-hmm. goes against the beliefs of the state. That's the whole reason for our First Amendment. Most people don't realize it, but the First Amendment is all one sentence. It's not a series of sentences presenting a series of separate liberties or freedoms. It's regarding the freedom of religion. That's the main purpose of the First Amendment. Because if you do not have freedom of religion, and I've talked about this at our church, and I think I talked about this a little bit last Friday on the program. If you do not have freedom of religion, in the early days of our country, Massachusetts as a colony had an official religion. It was the Congregational Church. And if you were not a Congregationalist, you mm-hmm. could be thrown in jail. For instance, you did not have the right to say anything contrary to the teachings of the Congregationalist Church. And there were a number of Baptists that were in the Massachusetts colony that were forced out. That's how we got the state of Rhode Island. It was actually founded by Baptists that were forced out of Massachusetts. They were exiled into the wilderness of what then became Rhode Island, the state of Rhode Island today. And they were forced out because the colony of Massachusetts said you were not allowed to say that you disagreed with the Congregational Church practice of baptizing infants.
They're trying to get this, one world government church
you have to restrict our First Amendment rights. And you don't want people saying something you don't like. See, the First Amendment doesn't say you have the right to not be offended. It says you have the right of the freedom of speech. But that freedom of speech was so that you can have the right to freedom of religion. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And when you tell people what they can think or can't think, then you tell people what they can't say. And so there goes freedom of speech. And then you tell people what they can't put in print. There goes freedom of the press. And then you say, well, no, you cannot assemble with other people of your views and talk about it. So there goes the right to peaceably assemble. And then if you say, well, I'm going to petition the government, for the redress of grievances that this has caused, well, you don't have that right either. So all of these other rights, speech, press, peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government, all of that is dependent on the freedom of religion. And what this city hall and mayor in Houston are doing is they're restricting freedom of religion. They're telling people what they can't say. They're telling people what they can't put into publication. The next step is going to be restricting the right of people to peaceably assemble. And they're already, restricting their ability to try to petition the government for a redress of grievances by finding some minor technicality to get rid of an ordinance or a petition that they don't like so that they can ignore it. Got a great suggestion, and I did not originate this. On a LinkedIn group that I'm a part of, somebody suggested that the pastors in Houston ought to send a Bible to this woman and say, here's my sermon notes. That would be my sermon notes. Send them a Bible. And I suggested, well, I think pastors and all over the country ought to send a sermon note. And in fact, I think Christians, Bible-believing Christians all over the country should send a Bible to the mayor of Houston there.
Sure,
you can find her address online. It's public domain. I don't have time to give it right now. But you can go to the City of Houston's website and you can find that. And you can send a Bible there if you like and say sermon notes. Here it is, sermon notes.
Good idea.
What better way to do it than to simply give the Word of God to the mayor of Houston and to the City Council of Houston?
And that's so sad. It's just plain. I would try to find out if this group were witches or had some kind of background to being homosexual, and they're trying to get us to follow their pattern by making laws on us that would make us have to follow their
right. Well, guidelines. many years ago, some homosexual activists said that their desire was to put the Christians in the closet that they were coming out of. And since you ask about that, the mayor of Houston, Anice Parker, is an open, avowed lesbian.
I think we can begin to see where part of this is.
So,
and that would probably, she would probably be anti-religion.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, everybody's afraid of being called a homophobe, an Islamophobe, but it doesn't seem like any of these people are afraid of being called a Christophobe, which is exactly what they are. Hey, I appreciate the call. I got a caller calling in who's traveling on the road. So I want to try and catch them while they're still available. And I appreciate you bringing that up, Barb. And I appreciate you calling. And we got time. You can get somebody else on here, 888-677-9673. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we've got Frank calling from his car. Welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor Al. God bless you.
Hi, great. Great to have you tonight.
I was going to say, we know why this lady is coming against the Christians, because Satan is only concerned about Jesus Christ, because only Jesus Christ is the way, truth, and life. He's the only mediator between God and man. However,
oh, absolutely.
I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with these pastors saying this is not only, you know, coming against religious freedom, but it is clearly discrimination against Christians, only because she hasn't asked the Muslims for their teaching.
Oh, yeah, and they would be teaching against it, too. Probably had a number of Muslims sign the petition.
Yeah, or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons. You know, so go ahead and tell the Muslims, you know, what she wants and everybody else. I'm going to get off, but that's all I want to say, because the attack is only against the church, because only Jesus Christ is the way, truth, and life. God bless you, Pastor. Hey, you have a great night.
Thank you, and keep thank safe you. Driving there. Appreciate the call
thank
tonight.
You.
And absolutely right. It is an attack upon the Lord. It's an attack upon his people. And it's an attack upon Christianity. And the devil attacks Christianity for that reason. You know, it never ceases to amaze me, and this is a related sort of thing, that people who are feminists are so quick to attack conservatives, so quick to attack Christians for any perceived insult or any perceived hindrance of their rights. And yet, here's the Muslims, with Sharia law forcing women to walk covered head to foot in the hot desert conditions in a black hijab and burqa, you know, covered head to foot with a little tiny grill that they can look out of. And here's Islam that teaches that the testimony of a woman is only worth half that of a man. And here's Islam that says if a woman is raped, she's to be stoned to death because she's to blame. And the man, half the time, can get off without any punishment. And yet the same feminists that are quick to jump on any perceived slight on behalf of a Christian say nothing about the Muslims, see nothing wrong with the Muslims. You know, maybe the problem is, here I'm talking as a Christian in the face of what really is Christophobic behavior on the part of the mayor of Houston and the city council of Houston. I'm suggesting sending a Bible to them. Now, if I was a fundamentalist Muslim, I would be issuing, as an imam, I would be issuing a fatwa to have their heads cut off, because that's what Islam does. You know, people say, oh, no, that's a corruption of a noble, peaceful religion. I'm sorry, read the life of Muhammad. Read the Quran where it says to strike the necks, meaning strike off the heads of the unbelievers and the infidels. You know, look at the examples of Muhammad in the Hadith, who's supposed to be the most perfect man that ever walked the earth, and how he sat and spent an afternoon watching hundreds of Jews have their heads cut off and be slaughtered because they did not recognize him as the messenger of God. Look at what's happening over in the Islamic State as they're taking over portions of Iraq and Syria and literally slaughtering the Kurds and cutting off the heads of men, women, and children, and sticking them on posts in the city, in the centers of the towns, and literally pulling people apart, children into pieces. And look at all of that, and look what they're doing to the women. And yet, where are the feminists? Where are the feminists condemning what the Muslims are doing? But if you said something that they didn't like as a Christian, well, they use it as an excuse because, like I said, the word Christophobic ought to be used. If you can say people are Islamophobic or homophobic or something like that, I think Christophobic should be a valid word. And we as believers need to stand up for our rights. The only reason that we have the First Amendment to the United States, the only reason that we have that in the Constitution is because Bible-believing Christians stood up for their rights. And they wanted enshrined in our Constitution that we would have the right to say things, that we would have the right. You know, they didn't know about radio back then. They would never imagined radio. But if they knew about it, they would have stood for the right to be able to be on the radio to say the things that I've been saying tonight. And they would have certainly stood for the right to be able to publish on the internet the things that we've been talking about tonight. Excuse me. The First Amendment, and nowhere in the Constitution, gives us the right to not be offended. By having freedom of speech, we're going to hear things that we don't necessarily agree with. They built a Hindu temple in my hometown of Richfield, and did I want to see a Hindu temple built there? No. I would have rather been able to build a church there, but I didn't have the money to buy the land, and all the people sold it, and it was zoned for places of religious worship. And though I don't agree with Hinduism, I think it's wrong. I think it's a satanic counterfeit religion. But yet I support the right that they had to build there because it's, you know, free speech, freedom of assembly, all of that, freedom of religion. It's their right. I don't have the right to not be offended because I don't like the religion and what it teaches. But as a Bible-believing Christian, it gives me an opportunity to try and share the gospel and be a witness to people who are coming into our community to go to that temple now. And so we hope that we can reach people that way. But as believers, we should not be afraid to take a stand for the Lord. As I said earlier, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 13, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? We need to be the salt of the earth. He said we're the light of the world. And let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If we're putting our light under a bushel, we're not making an effect in the world around us. There's a world that's lost and it's dying and it's on its way to hell. And our responsibility is to be salt and light as we hold forth the word of God and pray for people like the mayor of Houston. Pray for the Houston City Council. Pray for the mayor of your own town. Pray for the council in your own town. And get involved. Get out in the elections and pray that God would raise up godly individuals. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks for being with us tonight. Good night, and God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 888-344-2286 or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenoel.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.